Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Well, you're always interested in what it'll take to get you to fill in the blank. Neither one of us are great tennis guys. Back in the day, I loved me some McEnroe, Connors, Borg, Lendl, Nastasi, you know, that generation. But really don't probably follow the game as much as I used to. And I'm in the gym yesterday when breakfast at Wimbledon had become brunch and then even tea because they were going on to their fourth hour of playing. Happened to catch the tiebreaker with Djokovic and Federer. And Shane, I'm damn glad that I did because It was fun to watch. It was interesting. I felt like I was paying attention to something that I should be and really respecting the two of these giants of the game for any generation. These are two of the guys that have done it as long as you can imagine. Throw Rafael Nadal in there, and that's kind of the trinity of men's tennis here during our lifetimes.
Yeah, it was the longest final in Wimbledon history and maybe the best.
Yeah.
Nearly 5 hours, 4 hours and 57 minutes. Djokovic wins his fifth Wimbledon title, his 16th major title overall. And it came down to a kind of a new tiebreaker rule after that, I forget the guy's name that was involved in that marathon 75 point or whatever set. Tiebreaker at the end. Finally, Wimbledon put an end to that. You know, after you get to 12-12 in the deciding set, you got a tiebreaker that'll decide it. But this is 2 years in a row that Federer played in a marathon final match. Kevin Anderson, some will forget, that last year beat him in the finals. And so now Federer has played the three longest matches in the finals of Wimbledon history. Him and the Joker yesterday at 4:57. He and Nadal in 08, that went 4:48. And he played 4 hours and 18 minutes back in 09 against Andy Roddick. So that was a, even especially for us, just not blatantly not right. Tennis guys, but When something like that's going on and you get the alerts on your phone and you get the thing on the crawl, you go over and get you some of that. And I did the same thing. And like you said, I'm glad I did. And the thing that I stayed around for was the post-match stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the PA announcer introducing the...
Yeah, it's fun how they do it, isn't it? It's very English.
I've never seen that before. I never stuck around that long.
No, I kind of liked it. It was fun. They do things very directly with no frills. Mm-hmm. I like the way that they line up through the ball boys and ball girls, and I like the way that the chair umpire is recognized and royalty comes down. And there's just a wonderful, great touch of tradition that you would expect from the British. And Wimbledon is just, it's fantastic. To me, it's the, with all due respect to New York and the U.S. Open, Wimbledon was always the, and like I said, I've never played any tennis, but that was always the event that I kind of watched was Wimbledon back in the day. So, but I thought it was really neat to watch, and it was back in. I mean, Federer had two match points.
Yep.
before Djokovic even got to the tiebreaker, which happened at 12-all, by the way. So, and it was the first time in, as Shane mentioned, the first time in championship history, in the first year that it could happen, that they used the tiebreaker. And it was a good thing that they did, because that thing could have gone on forever.
Yep.
I mean, my goodness.
And matches like that, both guys look back and say they could have either been knocked out here, could have won it there, something that lasts nearly 5 hours. You're going to have some woulda, coulda, shouldas. But
sure.
Djokovic now with 5 Wimbledon titles. He is trailing William Renshaw and Pete Sampras with 7. Federer already has 8. And the winning percentage, most Wimbledon men's singles match wins all time, and their winning percentage between these two guys are just crazy. Roger Federer is 101-13 in matches at Wimbledon. That's 886.
Unreal.
And Djokovic is not too far behind. He's 72-10, and that's 878 with that winning percentage. So, and Jimmy Connors, might be surprised to find out, he's second, 84 wins. That's not the most, obviously, behind Federer, and that's not the best winning percentage, but he won 84 matches at Wimbledon. Jimmy Connors did. 17 behind Roger Federer. Tom is online, wants to talk a little tennis also, right, Tom? Can you click him on there, Jed?
There we go. I'm a little older than most of them. I haven't really watched tennis since McEnroe-Connor, and I used to love to watch them, but that was a really good game match yesterday. Really enjoyed it. And the movies?
Oh, yeah, movies.
It depends on if you add in startled with scared, you know. Because Wait Until Dark, when that guy jumped out of that bedroom, there was a lot of wet pants in that theater, I'll guarantee you.
What movie? Wait Until Dark?
Wait Until Dark. There was a blind gal that was in her room, and you thought the guy was dead, and all of a sudden he barrels out of the bedroom.
All right, I have to look that one up. Thanks for listening, Tom. Wait Until Dark?
I've heard of that, actually. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Blair Witch Project. Do you think that was scary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was scary.
Different kind of scary. Different kind of movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. Children of the Corn. I thought that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
For different reasons. All right, we're getting off on a tangent here. Okay, so I brought this up last segment, and I do not necessarily want this to devolve into a what would it take and what kind of male could beat Serena Williams. But in a recent poll, more than 1,700 adults were asked if they could win a point off Serena Williams, assuming they were playing their best tennis. 12% of men said they could. Only 3% of women thought they could. Now, I don't know who's more delusional, the 12% of the men or the 3% of the women. but let's think about it now. 1 point, that includes her double faulting.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable.
Well, do you think it could happen if you were out there?
Oh, my God, not me.
Well, that's what I'm saying here.
Do you think
you could win a point off Serena Williams?
No.
I don't either.
I think Serena Williams could hit one into the net, double fault, do something or other to give me a point.
That counts. That's what I'm asking.
Well, then yeah.
You think
if
so?
If we were to play a best of, so that would essentially mean two sets.
Two sets, probably, yeah.
Two sets.
Now, this poll didn't necessarily stipulate how long you'd be playing, but, I mean, the longer you play, the more likely it is for her to misplay a ball. But not being tennis guy, I'm not sure I could return one of her serves. I mean,
yeah, I don't either.
Probably get a racket on one or two.
I mean, I don't have the faintest idea.
What about if we
whether I could even get a racket around on it? No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take it a little further. So you think it's possible she could? You could back your way into a point with Serena because of her mess ups.
I think that's much more likely than me passing her with a wicked forehand down the line. Yes.
Right.
I think that's much more possible.
So let's assume further that none of her serves go into the net. They're all in your side of the court and in.
So all first serves. She gets all of her first serves in.
She doesn't double fault on the serve. None of.
Okay.
You don't get any points by her hitting her serves into the net. Now can you get a point? I say it's 100% no.
I wouldn't be very confident, no.
I mean, no. 3% of women think at their best tennis could get a point off of Serena. Further, and maybe this is the real defining part of this poll that was done, 74% of men and 87% of women said they didn't think they could win a point off of Serena, which is probably the correct answer, right? I mean, I don't think so.
I would think so.
If that's
so.
An answer, yeah. I don't think so is allowed. Sounds like I said, some people vastly overrate their tennis game, and especially 12% of men. This has been.
I mean, the only time that I've really ever played tennis is just hitting balls back and forth.
I'd have to go back to my junior high days, going up.
Well,
to
I've done it later
uptown.
Than that, but and I've actually hit balls with people that can play, but. But my God, I would like to see if I could just return a serve.
Yeah, and the more I think about it, it's like, all right, if you're kind of athletic at all, you think that you can kind of get the hang of at least where you have to put yourself to be in position to touch the ball.
Right.
So after four or five aces in a row or whatever, can you figure her out well enough to at least return one of her serves?
Well,
I'm still not.
How much time do I have to prepare to play her?
Well, according to the poll, it was assuming the adults polled were playing their, quote, best tennis, unquote. So I guess you're allowed to practice leading up to
okay,
this pretend
then
matchup.
Yes. Yes. Because I think that if you prepare correctly with the right kind of coaching, and you get in against guys that can hit the ball with pace so that you could get your brain around pace. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Hmm. Okay. Here's
give yourself a month with good coaching. Yes.
Okay.
I think you could.
I know this is 12 years ago. But in the 2007 U.S. Open, let's see. No, the 2013 Australian Open, Serena hit a serve 128.6 miles an hour.
Yeah. Wow. That's a blur.
Yes. And I know that was 6 years ago, but there's the serve that you're looking at, ish.
Right.
So now, after further review, I'm not.
But see, I don't have that. I don't have a. I can't relate to what that looks like. Other than knowing it's really fast. I mean, I understand that. I mean,
well,
what is Djokovic serve
at? Here's what it looks like when you're in the stands and a foul ball comes into the stands. That's almost how far or how fast a. Foul ball, a line drive foul ball over the top of a dugout comes into the stands. I mean, so
yeah.
Try to envision yourself either getting out of the way or catching one of those. Now you're obviously not getting out of the way of a tennis ball. You're trying to hit it back, but 128 miles an hour.
Better have your racket ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking so far out of school that I have no idea. But I do maintain that if you're an athlete. And you can prepare. You give someone a month. Now, I'm not talking about starting from. They got to have some athletic ability.
Right, right.
And so presumably you could see that type of serve coming at you and at least get, you know, your hands wrapped,
right.
Arms wrapped around it. I would think that you'd be able to return.
But that's the kind of reaction time you have to decide whether you're going to backhand it or forehand it. That's not very much time. What do you ask about a male serve? Andy Roddick,
yeah, I don't know what...
Andy Roddick hit one 155 miles an hour once. The fastest recorded is 163.4 miles an hour.
Jeez.
Some Australian dude, Samuel Groth, 164 miles an hour. That's a serve. Bill, you think you could score a point off of Serena Williams?
I don't think any of the three of us could score a point off Serena Williams.
No, I wouldn't
even think so at all. Even on my best day, I'd have a better chance hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball than returning a serve from Serena, let alone winning a point.
There's a good question right there. That makes it more interesting.
I mean, because to me, if you're going to swing and hit a fastball, that ball is going to be pretty much right there. It's in the strike zone every time. With Serena serving, you don't know where that ball's going to be coming at.
True.
And if you got to figure out whether to switch to your forehand or your backhand, that racket's going to get knocked out of your hand.
Well, and you still got to hit it. Even if you touch it, you got to hit it back over the net. You can't just sky it into the stands. You can't just Adam Sandler the thing.
You know, I mean, you got to get it back over the net. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
100 mile an hour fastball. When's the last time you stood in against a fastball, Bill?
Bill's gone. Here's the other thing about a 100 mile an hour fastball. Even if you know where it's going to be, let's say it's off a pitching machine and not off of a guy.
Right.
You still have to gear up and swing quick enough to touch it.
Don't dismiss a 100 mile an hour fastball,
yes,
folks.
Exactly right.
Please
even
don't.
Even if you know exactly where it's going to be.
Yeah, that's a different creature. You got a ball coming in at you at that speed, and that's a different challenge.
And
I don't know.
To say nothing off of if it's coming off of somebody's arm, if somebody actually is throwing it.
Well, yeah,
I'm not giving any of us in Sports Daily Land a snowball's chance in hell of hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Oh, my God, no. Absolutely not.
No. Mark is next. Mark, what do you got?
I think you guys are looking at this wrong. As far as scoring a point on Serena Williams,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily going to score off her serve. You're going to hit the ball to her off one of your serves, and she's going to rear back to hit it hard and overhit it. That's where you're going to get your point.
Maybe.
So, well, yeah, you're falling into the category of it's going to be her mistake. You're not going to win the point.
Right.
She's going to give it to you by an unforced error or something. Yeah.
Right. And I quite honestly, I think knowing that you're not a professional tennis player, she's going to be a little easier on her serves and not necessarily double fault.
But she could be easier on her return game, though, too, waiting for you to make the mistake. All she wants to do is put it in your court, so to say. So maybe she doesn't, you know, try to overpower you and slam one into the net just because she knows you suck compared to her.
Right, but when she goes to return it, I think there's more options for her, you know, used to a harder ball coming and not, you know, not putting quite as much strength in the hit because
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's like a touch volley.
I love the way we're breaking this down.
Yeah, I know.
But either
thank you, Bill.
What
I like is that people are actually thinking about it. I mean, it's like
right.
It tweaks the interest.
No,
I
will stipulate backing your way into a point with Serena is possible, but that's the most probable way that you're going to get a point. Her mistake.
Oh no, question.
Her error.
Yeah. Yeah, if she's locked in and, you know, I mean, but everybody makes mistakes here and there. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there was a little volley at the end of the, during that tiebreaker yesterday that Federer missed that when you're sitting there watching it, you're thinking, well, how the hell did he miss that?
Mm-hmm.
And then McEnroe, John, not Patrick, but John made the comment, for those of you thinking that was because I was thinking it, and in the comments afterwards, he said, for those of you thinking that was a pretty easy volley that he missed, Remember, it was a tiebreaker in a major in a fifth set with the match on the line. That's not an easy volley at all. And it was like, oh, okay, now I've got some perspective on that. So, interesting question. I do not want to be on the others. Casually hitting balls with Serena Williams, I think it would be a lot of fun, although I'm not good enough to even do that, let alone try to win a point with her, against her. So that's a challenge I'd bypass, I think. Anyway,
as long we'll as continue I wouldn't bypass it if no one was allowed to watch. If it was just me and her, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
But I don't need any witnesses, for damn sure.
No, no. No, you don't need any cell phones taking shots of that, do you?
Check those at the gate. No cell phones allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. We're back in a minute.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.